Good morning. Great to be here this morning. I hope you're having a great time. Welcome to Atlanta Church of Christ. We are glad you're here this morning. So we want to talk about growth today, and I want to talk about numerical growth. Now, numerical growth is a biblical teaching. Amen? And I want to be very clear that we don't want to talk about this in a way that scares you if you come from a different time of this business. Does that make sense? However, if you get anxious about this stuff, feel free to talk to any of us. Does that make sense? I want you to feel safe to talk about any anxieties that come about as we talk about these issues. Amen? Please, feel free to take any of the leadership. We can talk about that. We'll take it from there. But I just want to state what the biblical stance on this is, and I want to talk to us about this theme, about growth, so we can talk about it in a way that is godly, is biblical, and doesn't scare you. Does that make sense? So let's talk about that today. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. That Jesus walked around and saw these people, and the Bible says he saw them, and they were harassed and helpless. How is that possible? How do you look at people and you can see that they're harassed and helpless? It can only happen because you're in touch in your heart about how people are feeling. You cannot do that if all you do is just judge, look at them and says how they look like. No, he said, listen, these people are harassed and helpless. Now let's bring that conversation to this room. It's possible that you look at people, but you judge them. It's possible that you have stopped making internal growth. Your personal growth has stalled a little bit. So when you see people struggling, you don't know how to connect to that pain. And you don't know how to point them to God. Or sometimes it's possible that you have not done your personal growth and you're in a certain pain. When they start having pain, instead of helping them to find Jesus, you cry with them. It's possible that that's happening, that you've stalled too, that you only identify with it, you're not making progress. So numerical growth, it's about helping someone else come to Jesus. That you can only do when you have compassion. Compassion without action is observation. We gotta get away from just observing society and making comments. Really have compassion for someone is to move beyond observing them and saying, listen, man, I see that this stuff harasses you. And I can tell you a little bit more how God has helped my life transform. Now, here's where we go wrong. We talk to people mostly about, come to church with me. No. The conversation is, who is God in your life? That's the conversation. I want to talk to the teens for a moment. Who is God in your life? Not about how your dad treats you and your mom treats you. Who is God in your life? That's the conversation we've got to have with you teens for a moment. So that you can make that conversation and understand what is harassing you and how can you overcome that. If you're visiting, who is God in your life? What's your view of God? That is the conversation we want to have. And then we can have compassion and explain to you how we came about understanding God and how God changed our lives. Amen? I think, church, we make too much emphasis on the church instead of about God. So the Bible says that Jesus had compassion on them as sheep without help, that there were sheep that were helpless, without a shepherd. In other words, he could connect to their pain. Can I ask you a question? How many people have you seen and you could connect to their struggles? Do you judge? We live in a time when people are struggling and going through a tough time, we take pictures of them and post that. That the water's flattened out, we don't have empathy. We don't know how to get in the hole with them and say, I feel your pain. I can be there with you. Let's talk about this. We don't know that. We take pictures of them and put it online, and people comment on that. We shame, we guilt, we beat down those that struggle. We don't know how to say, wait a minute, that must be difficult. How can I connect to that? And because we resist the humanness in us, we resist the reality in us, we attack it. Because when we see it out there, it reminds us of our frailties. But when you have compassion, it's a different space. You walk around and say, you know what? Can I tell you what God has done for me in that area? And some people are angry with God. Let's talk about that. Why are you angry with God? There's many ways to do that. I also think that as people who call themselves Christians, we are lacking in knowledge sometimes about who God is. So we don't know how to talk deeply about who God is, because the information then we have is minimized, and you need to know who this God for you through your struggles so that you can come to a place of helping another man, another woman that is struggling. So instead of judging and putting them down, we connect to their pain. It's different from enmeshing with that pain. When you connect to a pain, you can go and talk about it from a position of, I can help you see how God helped me. When you're enmeshed, you become one with the pain and you start being part of the problem. You're not a solver. Does that make sense? So today I ask that question because you have to do work about compassion. And for some of us, we've shut down. We don't like to feel things. We just shut it down. It's too much to feel things. That is what has killed your compassion. I don't want to deal with this stuff. Who has the time to deal with that? You're dying before your time. Emotionally, you've shut down the heart that connects to the heart of God. So we can't turn around and help anyone about God because we've shut down that very important component. I have had people say, I used to do this stuff. I said, you used to, because at the time you were open to connection. You shut that connection down. You can't talk to anyone about God. So that's how Jesus was so effective. He felt for people. He saw their struggles. He connected to them, but he gave them hope. Amen? How willing are you to be a worker? The Bible says here that, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Everybody is looking for a solution. I'll say that again. Everybody is looking for a solution. There's an emptiness we all have inside. We buy the house, we get the insurance, we get all kinds of insurances, but we're still empty inside. No bad feelings about insurance. Go get them. You need that. But it will not feel what you're trying to feel needs God. If I just got the person that loves me right, I'll be okay. No, they're not perfect people. Everybody's broken. Welcome to universe, this earth, this place. Everybody's broken. You have to find God on this one. And then Jesus said, he said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. People are hungering for God. What's the problem? Workers. The reason we stop being workers is a little bit of what I said earlier, that I think we've stopped to engage our hearts and minds to God, love God in that way. We don't have empathy. We judge. We put down. That's what we do, either covertly or overtly. We do that very quietly. There are people that look at you and judge you and say nothing, but you feel judged. Others say a lot. Does that make sense? And some of us, because of that experience, we don't want to talk about it. But really, this world needs love, and love cannot be practiced by being quiet. Love cannot be practiced by being quiet. You have to do something about it. You got to talk to people about this stuff. And I'll get to it in a short while, but the question is, are you a walker? I think as Christians, sometimes we hardly have, we're talking about have people in your house, have some hospitality, let's have some good conversations there, bring your neighbors. Not expressly for the reason of them being a Christian, but if they do, that would be amazing as well. But it's part of you living out your Christian life in a world that is so afraid of any human being. We're so afraid of one another. I mean, I'm walking in the streets
And I, for some reason, I come around this person, and they didn't see me, but they just jumped away. This is daytime, 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, it's 10 in the morning, for crying out loud. Why are you afraid? The only time I'm afraid of stuff like that is when it's a dark alley. So many people around, but you're still afraid. We're afraid when somebody looks at us. Why are they looking at me? We don't say, people look at me, I say, hey, how are you doing, man? Good to see you. And some people you say that, say, oh, they found out I was looking at them. It's a weird society we become. How are we going to help each other if we're afraid of one another, judge each other, put each other down? The whole idea here is that we got to be a walker, you've got to transcend judgment, transcend the issue of putting people down, but also connect to people and say, hey, let's talk a bit about different things and you see what God does with that. So being a walker is being willing to say, hey, man, we can talk about life, we can talk about other things. Colossians here 3:23 says, walk willingly at whatever you do. Are you willing to talk to someone? That's the question. If you're going to help anyone to ever talk about God, you got to be willing to have people in your house, willing to have people talk to them about your life. Some of us are so afraid to talk about our weaknesses and where we've been and how we've struggled because we think if they really knew who I am, they'll reject me. No, you have hedged yourself for them. No, I'm okay to say I have issues. Really, you know how I know that? I've been around long enough to know that everybody has issues. Yeah, even though you act like you have no issues, you have issues. And I know in a group this size, there are people that act that they have no issues. They have issues, and you know it's going on in your head. Stop playing it. We can smell it, but we just don't know where it is. Yeah, I can smell stuff, but I know, like, yeah, I know there's something funny with that, but I can't. Let's just keep walking in it. Don't worry about it. To me, it's liberating to accept that I have these issues. It's very freeing because then I can go to Jesus very authentically and say, you know, Lord, this morning I'm having anger issues. I'm upset for no reason, but I am. I need help. Help me to repent. I'm in a bad mood. I'm not very good around. My ambience is changing. I need to repent of that. This is stuff that we got to deal with. We need to stop blaming the whole world and just deal with us. Does that make sense? Hey, because you don't talk to me nicely, that's that person's problem. I have to repent of my issues. That is what Christ can do to you. Transform you. Give you so much power. No matter what is thrown at you, you keep coming. So if you're feeling defeated, there's hope. If you decide to be a walker, there's hope. The Bible says, walk willingly at whatever you do, as though you are walking for the Lord rather than for people. That is the crux of the matter. We are too focused about how people see us that we no longer function. We don't want to try because what if I fail? Failure is good. Yeah, you heard me. Failure is good. That's where you grow from. Success is another story, but failure is good. Amen? You grow from that stuff. You grow from that stuff, you become a different person. You go to another level from failure. If you are afraid to fail, you're in the wrong business. You're going to stay the same. It's okay to fail. But when you fail, you must come back and get help from God and those that are doing well in that area. Then you can grow up and you can become a walker and help other people. The biggest challenge we face today is this illusion that people are selling online, on the internet, that the world is perfect. They take pictures and they look perfect. Nobody's perfect. You know that, right? But do you agree? If you know that, why do you look at pictures and you feel so bad about yourself? If you know that that's true, why do you feel so bad about yourself? I wish I was taller. I wish I was smaller. I wish I was... What is the deal? You're okay. You're created in the image of God. When you can take away that, then you can really talk to other people about God in a very effective way. Why? Because it's true. You are created in the image of God. I wish my house was this. I wish it was that. You've got to get perspective. 100 years from now, how many people remember where you stayed? I'm sorry, 100 years from now, you know. 100 years from now, who cares the car you drove?
But it counts what you do today. It counts what you're going to do tomorrow. It counts what you're going to do now. We're in your mind. It counts. Why do we live for stuff that is inconsequential and forget the most significant aspect of life, which is here and now? We take too much time to work for things that we'll never attain and forget the very important things of today, of now. You better connect with your family today. You better connect with your neighbors today. Connect with your spouses today. Connect with your single friends and life. That is what changes the quality of your life today.
If you don't get that down, you will live a life of chasing a mirage, hoping that there's another better life beyond today. And the better life is here. But you have to be willing to come back to God. That's when you become a walker. You connect to people because you stop running and you stop connecting. Be willing. Be willing. That's where it begins. Be willing to have those conversations. Are you willing to be a walker? You will not do that if you're not in touch with what's happening with you today. Many people are searching for God. Let's talk about that. You know, right now people get caught up with the politics of the day. That's the new hope. It will die in November. You have to look for another hope. Everything keeps changing. It always changes and changes and changes. But really what people are doing is they're searching for God. Matthew 9:38, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers in the harvest field. We've talked about, are you willing? But if you're willing to be a worker, the bigger thing that you have to understand, and some of us have been around a long time, we think that it's upon us to help people to become Christians. Actually, it's the other way around. God has these people ready out there that are looking for Him. If you're willing to be a worker, they're there searching. You have just to say, okay, God, I'll pray. Show me the person. Pray and show me the person. There's someone out there looking for you. And that's the question is, are you praying about the people that need to know about God? You know, your life can be purposeless. Let me explain what I mean by that. You wake up in the morning, go to work, and you come back home, watch a show, and you sleep. You wake up in the morning, go to work, come back at home, maybe stop at Walmart, a Kroger, Publix, TJ Maxx, somewhere, but really come back home and never do anything beyond that. It's all about you, and you never live a life of giving to anyone. It's miserable. It really is a misery. What will your life count for? And you may say, I don't care about that. Hang on that statement. As you get older, you start asking that question. What is the meaning of life? What have I done with it? Right now, you may be young saying, oh, I don't care about it. Hang on with it. Listen, there are more mature people in this group. Ask them. They'll tell you as you come into your 60s, that is a question you ask. It is a misery when you realize that the runway is coming to an end and you haven't done much with it. You need to do something with your life. And there's nothing as good as helping another person to know God. It's a powerful thing to do. So let's talk about that for a moment. Many people are searching for God. Ask the Lord of the harvest. You see, we've got to pray. We've got to pray. We've got to pray and ask God, lead us to people that want to hear your name. It's not upon us to help people to know. It's not me who can do that. Only God sends them your way. I mean, I've told this story many times about my packing in Compass. I go to Compass on Tuesday, and there's a day I prayed so much. I said, God, I need a packing. As I went to Compass, I was playing music in the car. You know, my tunes were coming out. I come around, there's a parking, but I'm not sure because I'm distracted. But I have an idea that it's normally around this place that there's a visitor's parking because I don't want to get a ticket. I've gotten it once in that space. And I said, okay, let me go around. By the time I go around, I come back, another lady took the parking. And I said, what was the issue there? I was distracted. I prayed, God answered, but I was distracted. There are many open people searching for God. If you only prayed about them, they're there, but you're distracted, so you can't see them. Distracted with work, distracted with life, distracted with everything, so you can't see that. You pray about things in your life, God answers them, but you're distracted. Anything. It doesn't have to be just open people. Anything. You're very distracted sometimes. So the following Tuesday, I prayed again. This time around, I didn't play tunes. I was focused. I prayed and I said, who knows what's going to happen? I came. And there are about 7 parkings on this particular space. I turned around. It was right there. I took it so quickly. I'm learning as I go along that God is always answering my ways. I'm just not paying attention. Really, if you pray about it and pay attention, God does. They're open people. You pray that God lead me to open people. God, you know, I could tell you more stories that Austin has told me, my daughter has told me. They've told me stories about how people start talking to them about God. They're people just talking about God to them. They're open people out there. What has changed? We've stopped praying about it and talking about it and talking about God, not talking about the church, talking about God. That's what we must do better. We're going to talk about God, not the church. God. That's what we must do well. Amen? Talk about God, but if you're short on the gospel, you're going to struggle. Because all you know is the word study. What about other things? I want to know why God is here and we're all struggling like this. How will you answer that? You need to know the Bible. Amen? Do not ask God to guide your footsteps if you're not willing to move your feet. Church, we like to say, I prayed God, answer me for an open person. But you're not willing to move your feet. I mean, sometimes we are funny. You want God to cook the food, put the food in your mouth, and chew the food for you, and get you, and swallow the food for you. That's when God really walked. Oh, my goodness, God walked. I'm like, are you kidding me? At some point, you got to own the responsibility of your life. At some point, you got to be willing to move the legs. At some point, you've got to take responsibility of what needs to change in your life. You can keep saying, I'm praying, but nothing is changing. Well, there's a part of God and there's your part. At some point, we've got to get that right. When you understand that God is ready to walk, but you got to move your feet, amazing things happen. Now, I do realize, for example, this morning, I was in Disciples in Motion. It's there. The Rawls talk about it all the time. If I want help, I'll have to decide to sign up to be there. Amen? And if I want help, I'll have to sit down and talk about it. Amen? And I'll have to be consistent 9 weeks. It's not, oh, well, man, 9 weeks is such a long way. Are you willing to move your feet? Sometimes you're helping someone to know God, it takes a long time, you give up. No, it's not on you, it's on God. Does that make sense? But you have to come along, move your feet. Does that make sense? Let's finish here. Rejection will happen as we share our faith. Yeah, how many of us have been rejected before? Yeah, thank you for your honesty. Rest of us, we need to work on repenting, amen? We all get rejected from time to time. That's just life. You're going to reject it at work, at other places. Rejection is a very common thing in life. We sometimes get very offended with rejection. No, it's okay. It's not a bad thing. Sometimes you want to walk in a place they don't want you there. It happens. Does that make sense? Sometimes you want something, they can't give it to you. This is normal in life. It's not. Sometimes we make it look like, oh my goodness, they rejected me. No, it's not a bad thing. And I want to talk about that for a moment. Luke 10:10-11. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town, we wipe our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. You can talk to people about God, but they're not interested. Does that mean you're saying something wrong? Does that mean you're wrong? So some of us have had very bad experiences. And some of us, we have had bad experiences because the people are having a bad day. I've talked to people that listened to me and walked away like I said nothing. They listened. They walked away. They rejected everything I said. And because I wanted validation from them, I can feel very bad. But if I see them as harassers and helpers, I can feel for them. I can say, how do you become so angry that you can't even bring yourself to say, I'm not interested? How angry are you that you can't say, I'm not interested? You know how you walk around the malls and now, right now, it's the Girl Scouts are selling biscuits and all that stuff. And they say, hey, can you buy us a biscuit and all that stuff? How anxious are you not to say, sorry, I cannot do that today. Not today. Or I already gave it somewhere. I see people running away like, oh my goodness, the Girl Scouts are coming. And I'm thinking, this could be your girl. Just then and say, you know what? That's a good job, but I can't get by today. There's this anxiety of saying, no, I don't have the money. Hey, even Bill Gates doesn't buy everything. Last time I checked, he doesn't buy everything. So why is it that we're very anxious about not having, not being able to, or being rejected, or being in a place where you can't give? Does that make sense? It's important to understand that sometimes that happens. And rejection happens when we share faith. People sometimes don't listen. It doesn't bother me really. I like to say the story in the Bible that the banquet was held and then the people were invited, but they did not come to the banquet. Then the Lord said that he sent them out and go ask people in the streets and all those beggars to come eat, and they came on in and ate. But they didn't feel sorry that we invited people and they did not come. Yeah, I know. Some of us have neighbors, you raise your hands and they never raise your hands back. And you've gotten angry with them because they never raised their hand back. Now you see, you're invested in how they treat you, not in God. You're going to go beyond how they treat you. Does that make sense? So this is going to happen to all of us from time to time. And so that is not a reason to stop telling anyone about God. You can do it to somebody else. But remember, out of rejection comes direction. Yeah, it just simply means this door is not open. We're going to go a different direction. If you go apply for a job in one place they don't like you, you don't stop applying, you go get another job somewhere else, right? Yeah, you go talk to a guy about God, he doesn't like it, you go a different place. If you're in business, you talk to one guy, he's not interested in your business, you go talk to another guy about the business. Does that make sense? It just means that you keep going and another somebody else is going to come. Now, I think where we go wrong with this stuff of evangelism is sometimes we want to use human systems instead of God's way. We try to do it in a corporate way, which is salesmanship. We go sit around doing salesmanship in a corner. Do you come to dinner? No, no, no. Pray about it. Pray about it. Let the Spirit of God lead you in this business. This is not a corporate business. This is a spiritual business of praying and God showing you open people and talking about it. If you do corporate, you're going to stand outside with an invitation card, come to church with me. That's not what we're talking about. We want to talk about who is God in our lives. And if you have no story to tell how God is changing your life, then you need to start there. Let's start there. Don't give up. Let's start with how God is changing your life. Pay attention to that. Then you have a story to talk about when you talk to someone else. Does that make sense? Remember, the point of talking about people, telling people about God, is not that all of them convert, but rather that they have a chance to come when they want to. Get that right. I spend so much time. No, no, no. It's not about you. It's about God. I have many friends that call me pastor, but they don't come to church. When it's really going down, they're going to call me, pastor, can you tell me about this? I'm like, okay, let's talk about it. I don't say, well, you never came. No, I don't say, well, let's talk about it. And many of us hold grudges with people like that. We get over that and build friendships. That you're supposed to be the light, not the light that simply attracts people. Then they see that, then one day they come to God. Amen? You see, Christianity is a lifestyle. It's not performance. If you do performance, you've brought corporate things in this world, in this Christian. It's a lifestyle. How is your lifestyle? How do you treat people? That's where it all begins. Does that make sense? How are you talking to different people? Do you have people in your home? We're going to do that more. Have people in your home. Does that make sense? It's a lifestyle. It's not corporate operation. It's not salesmanship. It's not winning many people. It's glorifying God. Ask Him, though. Ask Him to help you. Then get in the scriptures. And you'll be amazed at what God does. This week, let's start praying. Let's start going after it. As a matter of fact, we'll start praying. The sisters are having an evening prayer. This coming Friday, if I'm not wrong. I want to encourage the church to join the sisters in fasting that day. All of us. If you can fast, please, if you can fast. If you cannot, choose another day and we can get to it. But as many as we can, let's fast, pray, let's ask God to lead us, and may God's name be glorified. Amen.